Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Sometimes the safest place is the most dangerous. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Sean Diddy Combs, a new documentary out, Diddy, the Making of a Bad Boy on Peacock. And, you know, there's a lot of documentaries on Diddy right now. This one drops a lot. It really does not disappoint in terms of documentaries. It's not just rehashing old information. Lots of new people coming out and talking about all sorts of things as they look back in the life of Diddy and, you know, what exactly made the bad boy, exactly what it says. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. This is an interesting one because it's not just he did this, he did that. We're all shocked. That's what we understand. But I always say, what's in the recipe? What made this person who they are? People like Diddy don't often just kind of be like this. There's some reason, there's something in there that drove him in those directions. And we'll talk about some of that, including watching some clips from that documentary. A point that's made in there initially talking about his childhood is a very unconventional childhood. His father was murdered at a very young age. His mom fell into some money after that, and he lived a very privileged life. Ended up joining a gang of some sort, though, but was always kind of the outsider. While living that life with his mom, Janice, the allegations in the film are kind of shocking. It's talking about sex parties and people, kind of living the life that Sean still did. What's your reaction to that and the kind of trauma and the kind of things that would happen to someone when you're exposed to that sort of a lifestyle as a norm at such a young age?
You know, there aren't a ton of hard and fast rules about childhood and raising kids because we've all got different family cultures and all of that. But one of the things that always stands is children learn what they live. And so I think we've known intuitively that there had to be some pretty dark stuff in his history. Mm-hmm. You know, he did not grow up in a normal way, or he wouldn't have turned out to be the psychopathic, narcissistic, dark triad individual that he is.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising, even though the extent of, you know, what's in the documentary is shocking. In other ways, it's like when you line it all up as a puzzle, it makes perfect sense.
And it should be noted, Diddy is denying all this. His mom is denying any of these accusations. But these are coming from childhood friends, people like one of them even like lived with Diddy. They had tenants in their lower section of their home, and they were friends. They kind of, you know, were raised like brothers, and he's coming out and saying this stuff. Let's take a look at some of those accusations made in the new documentary on Peacock, Diddy, Making of the Bad Boy. Let's take a look.
Cause Sean had no dad, all he had was his mom. Sean's house, our house, there was always things going on. On the weekend, you partied in the house. And we did that a lot. He was around all type of alcohol. He was around reefer smoke. He was around drug addicts, around lesbians, around homosexuals. He was around pimps and pushers. That was just who was in our house. People that attended the parties were from Harlem, from the streets.
I wasn't at the Janice Combs parties, but some things I heard. She had like a little crew of chicks that would come around and, you know, she made sure everybody was comfortable.
At night, it wouldn't be a thing to mistakenly walk into one of the bedrooms and you got a couple in there butt naked. That's what we were privy to. This is what we were fed. Was it desensitizing us? I'm sure it was. Were we aware of it? No. That was just Saturday night.
If you grow up in a very sexualized environment, that's going to shape their sexual template in terms of what are appropriate boundaries, what's acceptable. And when you have a lot of unresolved trauma, the trauma doesn't go away just because you have all that access to wealth and power and no guardrails. The trauma is there and is still unresolved. And you just have more resources to do more damage with.
Very, very true. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, I would term it developmental disruption. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's traumatic to have developmental disruption, but I think so often we think of trauma as people beating their kids or berating their kids. And with developmental disruption, it's when the course of how we develop our internal self, our personality, it doesn't go in a healthy way. It goes in this aberrant way, which is, I think, what produces his sense that he's so special, you know, which goes back throughout his entire history. The guy has this huge ego and thinks he can get away with anything. And when you live in a family culture where you don't have normal structure and normal support, I mean, that's a recipe for somebody who turns out to be a sex offender. So it all makes perfect sense.
What's interesting in developmental disruption, that's an interesting term, because I think sometimes, you know, this, it sounds like, I mean, if these allegations are true, I mean, it's abuse to raise a child in a household where that sort of lifestyle is going on. Again, all allegations. But, you know, if that is true, it's a different kind of abuse, because it's an abuse that while that child is living it, they're not seeing it as wrong. They're enjoying this life. At least it seems like this, in this case, the people did, the kids did, thinking, oh, this is norm. You know, mom's having these parties. This is fun. This is great. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing that. And when you're, you know, an early teen boy or something, and there's girls around that are half naked, you're going to enjoy that. But sure, you're not realizing your exposure at that time to a life like that and what that, you know, must do to one's psyche, especially at that time. We this was an age, there wasn't internet pornography. If you wanted to see that, you had to, like, sneak your dad's Playboy or something. So, or I guess in this case, if these allegations are true, go into the bedroom when mom's having a party.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really like the term sexual template, because that is wired early in life. You know, when we talk about serial killers, these sexually motivated crimes, that stuff starts in their thinking, mm-hmm. in their development when they're 8, 9, 10 years old. And so it's very difficult for them going forward in life to have any sense of what's normal and to have the ability to connect sexual behavior with emotion, with empathy, with compassion, with what we would call love. You know, it's like sex is completely divorced from that. And people are objects that they use. And so this is a template that's persistent throughout their lives.
It feels like it could have gone either way for Diddy. Had he not had the money and the wealth in a young age and then fell into what I shouldn't say fall into. He was a very talented music producer. I mean, his talent in that area is undeniable. Doesn't make him a good person, but he certainly has talent there. And he used that, and his drive, you know, drove him to the top, but it still doesn't make him a good person. When you have that sort of drive and those sort of things around you, and this is what you think is norm, he could have easily gone into being a pimp or something, had the money and the wealth and all those things not happen if that's the way you want to treat someone. It probably would have ended very bad downfall early on in life, probably be dead by now. But because he had the money and the wealth and the power, he was able to kind of continue on this bizarre way of living from childhood and really just continue it forward.
Yeah, 100%. He had power. Mm-hmm. And when you have a malevolent personality with that kind of money and power, this all lines up. It's very scary.
It truly is. There's other allegations being made in the documentary, Diddy, The Making of a Bad Boy on Peacock right now. We're going to take a look at another one of those clips. Al B. Shore, the Thinking About It Night and Day artist from back in the early 1990s. He had a relationship with Kim Porter initially. They had a child together. Kim was working at Uptown Records where he or she met Diddy while Al B. Shore was also there at that time. And basically, it was love at first sight, as Al describes it, between those two. And very quickly, his relationship with Kim disintegrated and Diddy took over. Let's take a look at some of the clips and some of the information that Al B. Shore talks about, specifically about a danger to his life and a danger to Kim's life, he believes, that was presented once Kim and Diddy were together and Diddy didn't want Al around. Let's take a look.
You promise on our son's life, you know, just stay out of the way. Don't get involved.
Being told, please, don't do that tough guy Mount Vernon shit. You will get killed.
Kimberly said,
don't get involved.
You will get killed.
Even to the point where I remember,
oh, yeah, nah, I can't go into that. There's legal proceedings going on right now, so this will be, but yeah, I will share that at some point. But yeah, this, it's part of evidence, and I'm going to have to refrain from this part of this segment.
Let's just say you got to listen to Kimberly, because not only was she trying to save me, she was putting her own life in danger.
Kim died of lobar pneumonia several years back. She was 47 years old, as far as we're aware, was in good health. I think we've looked at the odds of dying of lobar pneumonia at that age several months back, and it's very, very low, especially when you have really good medical attention, which, you know, supposedly she had, but who was controlling that medical attention? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the question that's being raised. All allegations, there is no evidence or proof of abuse against Diddy towards Kim Porter, but there are certainly allegations from a lot of people. Your thoughts on what we just saw with Al B. Shore and the threats that were made or allegedly made against him and Kim, if anyone wants to speak out.
Yeah, it's terrifying, but not surprising, again. And when I say psychopathy, this is a person who uses other people and obviously would go to any lengths to protect himself. So I don't have any problem wrapping my head around that one. It's scary, but believable.
There's a lot of people who died surrounding Diddy, and that's brought out in this documentary. Here's another clip talking about just that.
This person was telling a story. This person was writing a book. This person was about to tell the truth. Why is everybody dead? Oh, it's a coincidence. Get the fuck out of here. July 12th was a very interesting day. That was the day that I went down. It's not the first, second, or third time that I've been in that position where I actually went down. I can't say too much at this moment. I can say this. July 12th, I was entered into one of the hospitals here. I was basically done. They were sending me to hospice. There was nothing else they can do, so they're gonna send him to die. And what transpired in between, from what I found out later, I was in a coma, having multi-system organ failure. Every organ is working off of a machine except for the liver. Even in the middle of me going through this tsunami of a medical crisis, every single person, I was mindful enough to remember, I kept a record of every single one of you who was sent to set me up to assist in the attempted murder of Al B. Shore. You're in the file.
Quite an allegation he's making there that it was an attempted murder on him when, again, he fell violently ill and organs are failing, very similar to Kim Porter. Again, smoke, there's usually fire somewhere.
That's pretty intense, shocking storytelling there. And if there's evidence to support it, I would think there's going to be a lot more that comes out about Diddy in the future.
It makes you wonder, is this going to go further than just sex, not just, but further than the sex trafficking allegations and all of that? Are we going to see murder charges or attempted murder charges here? Really, it makes you wonder. Here's one more clip I want to play about that. Al B. Shore talking about the last time he saw Kim Porter. And I think this one is really just kind of telling about those last tragic moments of her life. Let's take it.
She was looking amazing. She was healthy. She was fantastic. It was 2-3 weeks prior to her, am I supposed to say allegedly? November 15th, a day I'll never forget. I was on my way to film the opening packages for the BET Awards. Phone rings, and it's a dear friend of mine. And she says, did you hear about Kimberly? And I said, what about Kimberly? I just saw her. She says, I don't know, but I've heard that Kimberly has died.
Kim Porter had been found dead at home, and an autopsy showed that it was from complications from pneumonia. She was young. She was 47 years old.
Who is dying from pneumonia? Seriously, pneumonia, and it dies so quickly? Like, people get pneumonia every day and don't die. That doesn't seem like a natural cause.
But I do think, at least I owe it to Kimberlina to share just a small portion of her truth. After Sean begins to see Kimberly, Kimberly and I remain friends. She starts to confide in me. What she did say is, look, something's not right. His soul has gone completely dark, like he's just not there. She made me promise on her son Quincy Taylor Brown's life not to ever reveal, because she was in complete fear of my life. What I do know and what I can share at this stage is that before her death, she was keeping a diary and things of that nature. Someone got the passcode to her phone and her computer, and they found out that she was writing what was going on behind closed doors. The public had no idea what was happening, right? Let's just say there's a lot that goes on in the industry, which is not my job to uncover, but it's something that's been going on in the industry, and those who speak about it usually meet their demise.
I'll be sure now speaking out about the diary of Kim Porter that was floated around for a little while. Initially, people saying this is false, and I don't, maybe that one was. I don't know, but he alluding to that there is, in fact, whether the one that was released is real, I don't know, or there is one out there, he's saying at least. That has some documents in it. I'm imagining at this point, the feds probably do have their hands on that.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing I think when we look at, you know, anybody can make allegations, but, you know, is there anything that supports it? And yeah, 47 years old, healthy person dying of pneumonia is really suspect.
She was not cremated. She is buried in her hometown of Columbus, Georgia. I don't know how toxicology works. I don't know how you could examine any of that all these years later. The first thing I would wonder, if one were to exhume Kim Porter, is Kim Porter in the casket, is number one. Because I would question that. If we know what's going on here, if there was something going on behind the scenes, I would think Diddy would have thought the head on that one. And number two, if she isn't there, is there anything that can be gleaned off of examining her body at this point, or any sort of toxicology for anything that would be an unnatural cause of death? Because I'm going to assume if you're in the hospital for a pneumonia and you die, probably not much of an autopsy there. It's like, yep, pneumonia, we're good. I mean, not to be callous about it, but that's usually how it works if you're already in for something.
Yeah, but found dead at home. Very, very bizarre. And I, as I understand it, I'm no expert on toxicology, but yeah, they can do a lot with exhuming a body. They can look at all sorts of things that perhaps were not even evaluated before.
It's an interesting doc. I'd say probably one of the best that's out there right now. It's on Peacock. Diddy making the making of a bad boy. You can watch it streaming right now. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.